Stay tuned now for the big one, Bob and Ray.
Thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Gladstone. And Henry's in good voice today.
Yes, Henry is doing a great job up there in the news department.
Well, anyway, here it is. This is the big day. Isn't this the day that our tree is delivered?
Yes, it is. It is, Ray, and I haven't seen any sign of it yet, but...
We'll have a big time when he arrives with the tree put in the corner of the studio today, and Carmine's going to help us decorate it, put up the mistletoe and everything.
Carmine has already built us the platform that the tree will stand on.
Right.
It's a good job, too. He's a good carpenter.
Just hope that we have heat in my house tonight.
I hope so.
I just heard Henry say it's going to be, 12 to 15 above? Oh, boy, without heat, that's going to be something.
Yeah, 12 to 18 degrees. Boy. Well, we better get to some features here. You ready, Ron?
Welcome, once again, to The Big Scoop, the documentary program that pays tribute to the nation's working newspapermen. Here at our main news desk, prepared to tell you about this week's Big Scoop Award, is our Big Scoop editor, Big Fred Scoop.
Thank you, and welcome to The Big Scoop. This week's handsome certificate, together with a cash award of $15, goes to Vasily Hummert, ace reporter of the Butte, Montana Evening Territorial Dispatch. It was a keen sense of observation that sent Vasily Hummert on the trail of his Big Scoop. One evening, just a little more than a year ago, he rushed in to tell the city editor about it.
Hummert, how many times have I told you not to slam the door when you come into this office? I just get all the pictures hanging straight when you come in and slam the door and they're all cockeyed.
Well, I'm sorry, Chief, but I just stumbled across a story that could be my big scoop. You remember that little Feddersen girl who was kidnapped up around Cut Bank about 20 years ago?
Of course I remember it. I covered the story myself.
Chief, I'm convinced that the young woman who calls herself Phoebe Burnwell is really the Feddersen girl. I ran into Phoebe on the street this afternoon and noticed that she has a diamond-shaped birthmark on her wrist, just like the Feddersen girl did. Chief, I want you to take me off my regular beat so I can dig up the evidence I need to print the story.
Hummert, you're playing with fire. The Burnwells are the most prominent family in town. If you're wrong about this thing, we'll have more libel suits stacked against us than we can handle.
Chief,
believe me.
As a working newspaper man, it's my job to expose evil wherever I may find it.
And so Vasily Hummert began piecing together pieces of evidence that were to add up to his big scoop. He visited the Burnwell house, intending to question the girl's mother without arousing her suspicions.
Mrs. Burnwell, I know you snatched that Feddersen kid 20 years ago and have her posing now as your daughter. Why don't you come clean?
Why, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. If you'll wait a minute, I'll show you Phoebe's birth certificate.
Madam, don't make things worse with forged documents.
He visited the family doctor.
Doctor, I'm convinced that Phoebe Burnwell is really the kidnapped Feddersen child. I need your help to prove it.
Well, you're off your rocker, pal. I was there when Phoebe was born.
Doctor, you could lose your license for lying to obstruct justice.
To clinch his case, Vasily Hummert took a picture of Phoebe Burnwell and showed it to the parents of the Feddersen child.
Well, folks, what do you say?
No, she didn't look anything like that.
We'll see what the jury has to say about that.
Armed with the facts, Vasily returned to face his city editor.
Chief, I've run into a few bottlenecks. I'll need a little more time.
Hummert, you've run out of time. There are 5 slander suits pending against this paper as a result of your tomfoolery. You're fired. And don't slam the door on your way out. And so it was that Vasily Hummert reached the end of his newspaper career at the Butte Evening Territorial Dispatch. The 5 slander cases were settled out of court for a total of $225,000, and Hummert is now working at a closed filling station in Great Falls. We're proud to have told you his story this week on The Big Scoop.
Pretty good.
Dudley Webster,
ladies. That's quite a kick out of Ray.
Well,
that temple Ciani. I thought he must have been living under a rock for all these years.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of things handed to you, and you don't have a chance to look at them first, you
hey,
know.
Hey, this today you're going to have your tree delivered.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I can hardly wait. Will he come up in the passenger elevator?
No. It's the big freight elevator.
It's going to be a big tree, then.
Big tree for our 18-foot ceiling
it's
here.
It's going to be an imitation tree?
Real
tree. Oh, that's going to be very nice. Yes, sir. What corner are you going to put it in?
Right over here.
Oh, that's even nice. Over by the window.
Southeast.
That's good. You can look out there and look down all over lower Manhattan and over towards New Jersey. That's a beautiful spot you picked for it.
I know.
And where are the mistletoe going to go?
All over the door, I guess, or the curtain. Did you see the ice on the antenna on the Empire State Building today?
I sure did.
A giant Christmas tree ornament up there.
A lot of ice up there. Yep. I've never seen an ice storm like this. Man and boy, I've been around for a good many years, and I've never seen ice like this.
Seen a good many New York winters, huh?
And I never heard a story like Ron Harper, your engineer, has to tell about his adventures on the Long Island Railroad yesterday. Talk about hair-raising stories. You can't believe what happened to him.
What was the total number of hours he spent?
Something like from 8:30 until 9:30 at night.
Yeah, 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
9:30 at night.
Without any food or anything?
No heat, no lights.
Boy, that really... He knows how to have a good time, Ronnie.
Ronnie said he wouldn't want to do it again right away.
I don't blame him. Say, could I get in here for just a moment?
Sure. That's pronounced Pam. And now, the makers of Grime, the magic shortening that spreads like lard, invite you to join us for another episode of The Gathering Dusk. As we look in on the Bessinger household today, Edna is still bedridden. It's early afternoon, and Fire Chief Gurmit is just arriving.
Oh, Fire Chief Gurmit, I'm glad you came so quickly.
Well, it never takes us more than 5 minutes to answer a call, Edna. The hook and ladder truck will be along right away.
Oh, I'm awfully glad to hear that. I think I like the hook and ladder truck best of all. But they're so big, I don't see how they get them around corners.
Well, our drivers are all experienced in that sort of work.
Well, they certainly must be. I can remember when I was a little girl, Daddy used to have a Pierce Arrow touring car that was so big he couldn't get it around corners at all. He had to drive it up and down the same street here.
Well, your father was an awful fool, Edna. Everybody in town used to say so.
Yes, I know they did. Especially after he built that 5-story house out in the west part of town and forgot to put a stairway in it.
Yes, I remember that. They used to tell stories about one of the construction workers. He had to stay on the 5th floor because there was no way to get him down.
That's right. He was up there for quite a number of years, I recall. We used to send food up to him by a rope and bucket. He seemed happy up there. He was always jovial and in good spirits.
You'd think they'd have figured some way to get him down.
Yes, you would.
You'd think so, yes.
You surely would.
Well, Edna, I'm sure you didn't call the fire department just to talk about this.
No, you're right, Fire Chief Gurmit. I called you because the house is on fire.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. You can see the smoke curling up through my window there. I guess the flames must still be pretty well confined to the living room downstairs.
Well, I'll look out and see if I can spot it.
I'd be much obliged if you would.
Well, Edna, the house isn't on fire. Leverett, the gardener, is smoking his pipe down on the front porch. That's where all the smoke is coming from.
Oh, are you sure, Fire Chief Gurmit?
Yes, I can see him from here. Smoke is curling right up through your window.
Well, Fire Chief Gurmit, that's wonderful news. It's almost as if a great weight had been lifted from my shoulders. I feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dusk.
Ladies, there's nothing worse than a shortening that evaporates before you have a chance to use it. That's why you'll go for Grime, the magic shortening that spreads like lard. Try some today and be sure to join us next time when Edna goes to the village in the gathering dusk. Sitting here enjoying this beautifully clear day, cold, of course.
Father Ray?
Yes, sir. Oh, hey.
I'm here with your tree.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our...
Today I had it buttoned down for you.
Bob and Ray staff tree. Yeah, you're right on time.
Clap for me from the tree.
Well, that That's for you to bring in, I think.
First time I ever got a round of applause delivering a treat.
Well, you don't deliver many to radio stations, do you?
No, I don't. But
not many programs have audiences anymore,
well,
either.
Well, not on the air, anyway.
Right.
Like, most programs would like it earlier in the day delivered or when they're not on the air.
But, sure, yes. But we want the audience to realize all of the excitement, the color, the, well, everything goes with the arrival of the tree.
The excitement, the color of it.
Everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
Now, can you put it over that southeast corner there by the window?
You bet I can.
You see Carmine build us that platform?
Percy, if you'd pick up that other end.
Okay, Leonard.
Okay, let's get this thing in through here.
That's
a
beauty.
We want to carry it top end first, the way the, you know, the branches bend. So
oh, sure.
I'm going to break them coming through your door here.
Right, is it still tied up?
Yeah. Okay, I will get
it. Say when, Leonard.
All right. Did you hear anything rip, or is that my imagination?
I think the top of the tree hit that upholstered chair there, didn't it?
No, it's my pants.
Oh,
I caught
sorry.
It on the door.
That's a sharp little piece of metal there. Should be filed down. I meant to tell you, Jerry.
Yeah.
That's Jerry's fault. He didn't file it.
Uh-huh. What am I going to do? I can't go around like this. I look like, you know, kind of like crazy.
Can you stand behind the tree until our show is over?
Percy, let's get the tree over here.
All right, Leonard.
I can worry about my trousers later.
I think there's an extra smock in Henry Gladstone's locker if you want to borrow that.
I heard he wears those when he brought
them. He does, yeah.
All right, well, I'll take one of those.
This way you want them, Leonard.
That's it. Okay, now let's take the string off and let the tree fall in.
Boy, that's a real beauty.
Hey, that's a nice tree, isn't it?
Must be about 14, 15 feet tall. That's all paid for. It's been taken care of, hasn't it, by our staff?
No, I have a bill to submit here.
Oh, okay.
Who should I give this to? Bob, Ray, or
no.
Barry Farber? Or?
Why don't you give it to Barry, and he'll get back to us, I'm
all
sure.
All right, I'll give it. He's down in the kitchen. I saw him down as we came up the hall with the tree.
Right, he has his apron on?
Yeah, he's making some Christmas pizzas.
Well, that's...
Whatever that would be.
Well, tomato and cheese is kind
probably
of Christmassy looking.
Yeah.
I don't know what he'll use for green.
Pepper.
Peppers.
Sure,
yeah,
of course. What else?
Would you fellows like to stay around and enjoy
the
show?
Yeah, we would.
Show?
I want to see you put that star up at the top. That's, who's going to do that?
I think that's my job.
Yeah, I'm a little shaky on a ladder these days.
I'll get the ladder and put the star on the top.
I suppose we should let Ron. He's a ladder expert. Maybe he could do it during the news or
maybe
something.
Maybe he'd rather not do it, though.
Oh, we'll see.
He had such a hectic day yesterday on the Long Island Railroad.
All he needs is to fall off another ladder, huh?
I wish we could have, him in here to discuss it, but we don't have 30, 35 minutes to spare. But it's quite a long story.
We could tape it, Ron, and we could cut down, we could edit the tape, and then...
Was it really from, 8:30 yesterday morning to, around 9 o'clock last night?
9:30, he said. He got home finally.
Oh, boy. What a nightmare that must have been.
Because for a child in school, that would be a great experience to write an essay about, wouldn't it?
Well, speaking of that, the kids over in the Triangle School in Somerville, New Jersey, wrote essays on who was Ray Goulding and who was Bob Elliott.
That was the assignment of the fifth grade class out there.
We'll read some of those this Friday on the air.
Okay.
Because it's really funny, some of those stories. The teacher just gave them an assignment and said, now, he could be a baseball player, a cowboy, or a bum, or whatever. And they just wrote out these stories on one side of a piece of paper, and then they all drew pictures of what they thought A. Ray Goulding would look like. It's pretty interesting. We'll discuss that Friday.
Great imagination they have. And this is Bob and Ray, Bob and Radio New York, here at WR. It's exactly 4:15, and here's a feature.
And now, the makers of Tinkerbell earth-moving equipment invite you to widen your horizon.
Yes, friends, it's time again for Widen Your Horizons, the award-winning public service program that teaches you how to lead a fuller and happier life by acquiring new skills. The subject of today's discussion is how to use the telephone. And here with us is an expert in the field, Ms. Laura Witherspoon of the Southern Long Island Telephone Company. Ms. Witherspoon, it's nice of you to drop by and take part in our show today.
Well, teaching people how to use the phone is really a full-time job for me. Of course, after a storm like we had these past few nights, I get called out to work on the lines for a while. But our education program is really my baby.
Well, judging from what you told me before you went on the air today, you still have quite a task ahead of you. Didn't you say that 87% of the people in this country don't know how to use a telephone?
Well, 87% don't know how to place a call. There's only 63% that don't know how to receive one.
You mean the phone rings and they don't know what to do?
That's right. I've been in a number of homes where the phone would ring, and everyone would get up and rush to the front door, thinking it was the doorbell. I even knew one woman who'd run upstairs and try to turn off all the alarm clocks when the phone rang.
Well, I can see that there is a need for education in the field. Suppose we get along with your demonstration, if
all
you will.
All right. Now, I have a phone here on the desk, and I'm going to demonstrate how to place a call.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that I pick up the receiver first. This is the receiver.
Yeah, well, I've been told that you have to be careful not to put the mouthpiece to your ear when you pick up the phone.
That's right. You can't hear a thing if you hold the mouthpiece up to your ear. And, of course, the other person can't hear you either. Now then, I have the receiver in the proper position, and I'm ready to dial my number.
All right, Miss Witherspoon is dialing now, right here in our studio. Whose number is that you're calling, Miss Witherspoon?
Well, that's just our test number in the phone company office, you see. That's ringing.
Hello? Excuse me. Hello?
Hello? This is Witherspoon, you fathead. Testing, testing, testing.
Who do you want to talk to?
I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just testing, 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 you fathead.
Ain't a horse by that name racing anywhere today, lady. How'd you get this number, anyway?
Well, I work for the firm. I'm just testing, testing, testing.
Something fishy going on here, Lefty. Better throw those scratch sheets out the window.
Well, I don't know what the trouble is. I never had this difficulty making a test before. This is Gotham 6. 5700, isn't it?
No, this is Interocean 3-1286.
Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. I must have the wrong number. Goodbye.
Well, you had a wrong number, did you?
Yes. You know, this is terribly embarrassing. I'm supposed to be an expert at this sort of thing. It makes me look like kind of a fool.
Well, thanks for dropping by anyway, Miss Witherspoon.
Well, I was glad enough to do it. I'm just sorry that it didn't work out any better than it did.
You've been listening to Widen Your Horizons. Our guest speaker today was Miss Laura Witherspoon,
yes,
of the Southern Long Island Telephone Company, and illustrated copies of her remarks may be had free of charge from your local representative of the Tinkerbell Earth Moving Equipment Company.
The makers of Pietro's Pizza, the pizza with the hole in the center, invite you to ride with the men of Squad Car 119.
My name's Sam Finch. Me and my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., we're the unsung heroes of the police force. We ride a prowl car at night, keeping law and order while the rest of the city sleeps. The other evening, we were sitting around the day room when my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., turned to me and said,
What are you doing, Sam?
Working the crossword puzzle.
I used to try working those once in a while, but I can never remember whether horizontal is up and down or across.
Horizontal is up and down. Vertical is across.
I don't think that's right, Sam.
I worked them that way, and they come out all right. Horizontal is up and down. Vertical is across.
Well, I can never get it straight.
That's the way it is. Horizontal is up and down. Vertical is across.
I can never get it straight.
I'll get it. Hello.
Now, this is the skipper. Take those shoes you found in the Murphy case down to the crime lab. We want to have a plastic cast made of them. I think we've got a hot lead.
Skipper, huh?
Yeah. Wants us to take those shoes we found in the Murphy case down to the crime lab. Where'd you put them?
They're on the floor of my locker. You can take them out.
There's three pair of shoes in here, Ralph R. Jr.
Yeah. Well, I've got my hiking shoes and my walking shoes in there, too.
All three pair are brown. Which one came from the Murphy case?
Gee, I don't know. They all look pretty much alike.
Yeah. Be a shame if you sent your own shoes down to the crime lab. They'd trace them back to you, and you'd be in an awful spot.
Yeah. They'd have the evidence to pin the Murphy job on me for sure.
5 to 10 years. That's what you'd get at least. Maybe 10 to 20.
Boy, I'd hate to do a stretch like that.
Yeah.
They all look the same to me.
Send them down to the crime lab, and they'd trace them right back to you.
5 to 10 years, you say?
At least. Maybe 10 to 20.
I'd hate to do a stretch like that.
Did the phone just ring?
Yeah, I'll get it. Hello?
Now, this is the skipper. Never mind sending those shoes to the crime lab. The Murphy case has been cleared up by Squad Car 55. The fugitive has been identified, booked, and brought to trial. In a moment, the results of that trial.
And while we're awaiting the results of today's exciting case, a friendly reminder to buy and try Pietro's Pizza. Sprinkled with cornflakes or your favorite cereal, it makes a delicious breakfast time treat. Get some today.
The fugitive in the Murphy case was acquitted on all counts. The arresting officers were let off with a severe reprimand.
And so another thrilling case is brought to a successful close by the unsung heroes of the police force, the men who ride the squad cars at night.
Hey, that tree is a beauty.
Isn't it nice?
When are you going to start decorating?
We thought maybe after 4 o'clock news, like about 4:25.
Do you need anybody to help you put the star on the top?
No, not you. No, we...
I wouldn't recommend that, Kent.
No, we thought maybe Webb could put the star on.
He seems to be the most agile of the entire crew here.
Don't you get a little woozy when you climb great heights on a ladder?
Well, to tell the truth, yes, I do.
You know, we had a Christmas card to us here at the Bob and Ray Show, and the person asked about you.
That's very nice of them.
They say that you give them some cause for concern. In other words, they're worried about you.
Well, I don't see...
Are you taking good care of yourself, Kent?
Why, yes, of course, Ray.
Good. All right.
And what were they worried about, you know?
I don't know. Just the impression that you give over the air of being a person who is not taking the best care of himself that he might.
Like, you know, you cross the street there a little bit too much?
Like elbow bending, you know?
Now I begin to understand.
You get the message now?
Yeah.
Well, they say they're a little concerned about you, but...
Well, I'm taking care, and of course this is the cheerful season. You just read that announcement.
I remember last August it was pretty much the same.
Yes, the middle of the summer is cheerful.
Sure it is.
Spring...
It's always something to be cheerful about in the spring, and of course in the fall.
Fall, you get to keep warm. Wintertime the same.
Sure, and Christmas is a very festive occasion.
So I think I'm taking care of myself pretty well.
I think you are. You certainly... celebrating all year round. That certainly is a great privilege of life, I guess, to celebrate it.
Do you know where we put the ornaments for the tree? Are they in the studio here, or do we have to go somewhere for them?
No, they're in the Stan Lomax suite.
Oh, that's where they store them?
That's right, in the closet way back. You know, he has the sitting room.
Yeah.
Then he has his kind of like a bedroom.
Yeah.
And then he has his office. And his client's room.
Right, that's the only newsroom that has a setup like that, I guess, for a sportsman.
It's the only sportsman I know of who has his own suite, and it is a beautiful thing. I wish he'd have pictures taken and put into a brochure. It'd be nice to mail to all our friends.
I understand, it would be much too expensive, right?
Oh, sure it would.
I know our friends would love to receive one. I understand the manager only paints that suite once every 6 years, though.
Whatever the renters do. They always come around when it's time to jack up the rent.
A new lease.
But it is. It's done in that lovely psychiatric green that so popular.
You've seen it in many office buildings, I'm sure.
Mostly in doctor offices. And in this studio, too, this one corner is all done pea soup green, kind of. But that's where the ornaments are.
Well, I'm getting anxious to start decorating this. We've got Mary Magoon up here because she always has some good ideas about decorating.
Well, look, I'll go down to the Stan Lomax suite. Jerry just told me that all the decorations are in the closet where Stan keeps his bat and his ball. His catcher's mitt and his cap.
Okay, well, go down and see if you can dig him up, will you?
All right.
Up here.
Very good.
And we'll pause for Henry Gladstone and the news here at 7:10 on your dial. WOR New York and RKO General Station wishing you a Merry Christmas. It's 4 o'clock.
The Big Show, Bob and Ray.
Okay, Henry, thank you. It's 4:15 on this 18th day of December here at the Bob and Radio New York program.
And Henry, as soon as you can get down here, I know you want to help decorate the tree. It was delivered in our last, our first hour, which was the last one.
Right.
And we're all going to rally around and have fun decorating. I know he'd want to have part of it.
Next, Mary Backstage, Noble Wife.
the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and of their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. In our last episode, Mary and Harry found themselves on the horns of a dilemma. Greg Marlowe wants them for a Broadway show, and Norman Lear wants them for a movie version of Treasure Island. It's sometime later now as we hear Mary, Harry, Pop, Calvin, and Greg discussing what the backstage's decision will be.
Well, my own opinion, now that we've had this strong taste of winter here in these parts, that maybe we should go to California and do the musical version that Norman Lear wants us to appear in.
It's a mighty tempting prospect, Greg, you'll have to admit.
Well, I certainly do admit it. I wouldn't stand in your way. I want you to make up your own decision on this now, whether to do the Broadway show or the movie.
Did you
it's
say
your decision.
Did you say, Greg, you have someone coming out here to see us?
Yes, yeah, a chap named John Simon. He's dabbled in criticisms here and there, but recently he's taken to writing music and performing.
Say, there's the doorbell now. Maybe that's he.
I'll go get it.
And I thought that maybe he'd come out and
I never cared much for his writing myself.
Well, I never read it. To me, it was always, you know, too many words.
Gibberish kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that your friend, Greg?
Yes. Just go over to the piano, John, and I'll tell you when to go ahead.
Okay. What are we going to hear, Greg? Is this something to
do
with the show?
Let me just explain. As you know, the story of Treasure Island concerns itself with the search for and hiding of fortune.
Yes.
Gold pieces.
Sure.
In other words, treasure, you know. Usually gold pieces, doubloons, and so forth.
And this is a song about treasure?
So when I told John Simon about it, he said, why? He says, I can write a song about that. And he sat down in a matter of moments and composed what I think is going to be the song that will sweep the country if we do the Broadway show.
Well, this may force us to change our mind about going to California. Greg, can we hear it?
Well, he's called it, naturally, Gold.
Hey, that's a striking title.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
He provides his own accompaniment.
Yeah, that's a little organ.
When would this come into play, Greg?
Towards the end of the second act.
No, please be quiet, Greg. You want to hear every word.
Wow.
And do you think this is the showstopper?
Who do you see singing this, Greg? Me? As Long John, or...
Well, I don't know. I haven't, of course, plotted out the whole show yet.
Sure.
I do figure, though, the person who gets to sing this will be the showstopper, no doubt about it.
Well, my tap dance stopped the last show.
Yes, it really did. But I think this is even going to surpass that.
I don't think I could ever learn this.
No, you don't learn this song.
I don't know whether
to give it to Mary or to you, Harry, or
maybe a duet would be good, something different, kind of. I haven't been able to understand 1 out of 10 words yet.
Did you jot down Norman Lear's number in California?
Yes, I have it right on this piece of paper.
In case we want to call him.
See, the play is all about gold.
Well, that part I understand. Greg, do you see people going out of the theater whistling this?
Well, I know I've been humming it all day.
He better go back to writing a critical column.
Go, John. Well, I don't want you to make up your mind right now.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, let me hear a little more. Would it be this long in the show, Greg?
Oh, I wouldn't change a note. No, not a note. It's beautiful.
Gold or the flame of time.
Maybe you should sing it, Greg.
No. Well, there you have it. Thank you, John Simon. What do you think of it, folks? What do you think of it backstages?
Mary, do you want to place a call to Norman Lear?
How about you, Calvin? What do you think of it?
Mary, here's the number in Hollywood.
All right. Operator, I'd like to talk to Norman Lear at this number.
And so it appears that Mary and Harry have made their decision that they'll be off to Hollywood for a motion picture. You'll want to join us tomorrow when we'll hear Mary say...
And be sure and have the mover come by to pick up that organ, John.
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, Word Carr speaking.
You want me to steady the...
You hold the ladder for me, will you?
Yeah.
Very good, Wally.
Right. How you been? I've been out of town for a few days.
Fire.
Guess I was just as well off not to be here yesterday, huh?
Well, better give me the star, then I'll go up the ladder.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Don't drop those things now. Very fragile, remember.
Yeah.
You reach it?
Yeah. Yeah, how's it look?
A little bit to the left, if you can.
All right.
Okay.
How's that look?
That's good. Everybody agree? Mary?
Yeah, it looks fine.
Kent?
Yeah, it looks all right. Looks all right.
Watch it. I got you, Flip. I broke your fall.
Oh.
You all right?
Oh, I hurt.
Still holding on to that star. You didn't let go. That's
I get the star with the tree fell over.
Well, it didn't do any
harm to itself.
Well,
you didn't have any decorations on
it. I'll say. Every one would have been broken at that.
Oh.
You fellas get it straightened up while we move ahead. It'll take maybe another 5 minutes or so to
all
fix
right,
that up.
Sure.
In the meantime. Fell over a few minutes ago.
Oh, that's all right.
And Webley, you didn't suffer anything either, I guess, but...
Oh, just nice feeling for a little hurt.
Somebody else try to,
embarrassed.
Try to, decorate it now,
he
huh?
said he was embarrassed, but...
Well, kind of embarrassing thing to fall off. How about you, Wally?
Well, I don't think I'd better try it.
Well, what was the question? I wasn't paying attention.
Ask me if I wanted to put the star on the top this time.
I think maybe you ought to let me do it. I'm pretty good at that.
You are?
Yeah. So I'll just do it.
Well, I do it I'll now. Hold the ladder for you, right?
Hey. Hand me the star.
Yep, here it is.
Okay.
Well, put that first string of lights up there, too, so you can start them down.
All right, why not? Sure.
You kill two birds with one stone.
Let me just go up one step higher. There, I think I can reach
Don't
it.
Step back to examine your work.
There, I get... That's on.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh. Don't start it all. Say, I'm sorry, my foot slipped there, holding the bottom of that ladder.
How's the tree look?
It looks okay.
You know, you can't topple that tree too many times without doing damage to it.
I know.
I mean, look, you've lost a week's supply of needles already.
Well, they shouldn't be dropping off this soon.
Well,
this
you
a fresh
can't
tree.
Expect a tree to hold its needles when you pop it over twice in one afternoon.
Is there any way we can wire it up before we try to decorate it?
I would suggest maybe that's what you ought to do. Staple it to the ceiling, and so then nothing can happen.
Then you could really hang on to it if you're up
that's
there.
That's right. Want to do it now?
String of lights.
Okay.
Sure.
I'll hold the ladder for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Just climb right up there. And
he's more agile than I thought.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's
steady.
Yeah, he had a little nap, I think.
How does that look, Ray?
Hey, that looks great. That's
right.
Best.
I'm going to attach the lights here, and then I'll be down.
Okay, very good. Maybe we should have let him do it in the first place.
Guess so.
Good old Kent Lyle saved the day.
Ah, here I am.
Very good.
I'm going across the street.
Okay, and we'll listen to all the news with John Scott and be back at 4:15 here at WOR New York at RKO Central Station.
That's a friendly neighbor to a friendly person.
Bob, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bob.
On January 7th, you can start being Italian, instant Italian. That's when the first of Italian Line's great 1974 Caribbean cruises start. Other January cruises leave on the 15th, 19th, 23rd, 26th, and 31st. The beautiful SS Michelangelo and SS Raffaello have warm Italian crews and a personality
I'm
going
to go sick the dogs on him, Bob.
Turns you into an instant, fun-loving Italian. You call at beautiful ports like San Juan, St. Thomas, San Martin, and Haiti, depending on the cruise you select.
Will you ever go on a vacation? Please.
Have a good time, Stan. We'll see you when you get back.
Guy, you come back with a good tan, you hear? And,
Boy, I wish we were heading for the warm climes.
I'm heading out to a cold house out on Long Island. That should be no joy at all. But I'll try to suffer through it and see you tomorrow at 3:15.
All right, that's the old broadcasting game for you, folks.
Sure is. Have a good evening if you can, and a pleasant tomorrow if you can. Until then, Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is WOR, New York, an RKO General Station.